it's time to think big with Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your tooth to Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com with podcast streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steven, some Big Alaska Show friends, acapella extraordinaire, beatbox phenomena, and creator of Pipeline Vocal Project, Lisa Hawkins is in the house. Plus, we've got a tall Alaska tale to tell. Designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show. Got all the buttons.
This is live, baby.
Yes. Are you sure?
Now, just let people know, about every other week, we do live. And we've been doing this just more recently. It was for 4 years. In fact, our guest, who we'll bring out of the green room here shortly, Lisa Hawkins, we just briefly touched on the pandemic and how it really, as my wife says, peed in everybody's Cheerios. And so, anyway, to that end, we were not able to do live at all. We've had like 4 years of doing pre-production. And I was really looking forward to that because, you know, as you know, we're the longest running mistake-ridden radio show in Alaska's history. I was seeking perfection. But Lisa, who actually knows about the Japanese culture, is they build imperfection into perfection.
Oh.
Just, you know, because they're a humble people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've got a fun show this morning, Mike Ford. We've got Lisa Hawkins. Pipeline Vocal Project is our guest. This woman, I'm so glad that we embarrassed her in our opening of acapella, extraordinary beatbox phenomenon. And she is. She does beatbox, man. And we're going to actually put Lisa's beatbox talents to, I'm going to make it very easy for you because we have a special...
We got a budget for that?
Yeah. Hey, she's a musician. It probably doesn't take a whole lot these days.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding. So we're going to be talking to Lisa. A lot of stuff happening in the acapella world. The Women's Sweet Adeline Chorus here, Alaska Sound Celebration, has a big event coming up next weekend. Lisa's got a performance tonight she's going to tell us about, plus this really crazy career that she's been involved in a relatively short period of time. It's an awesome story. Let's see what else we have here. Mike Ford, while I'm thinking of it. The Midnight Suns, our guys. We're putting on a show November 2nd, and we're going to do our Men Can Sing with Melissa Fisher's high school, the young men who we're trying to inspire them to join their choral programs and sing. Lisa came and taught them beatbox one time.
Nice.
Right before the pandemic. And Lisa is not only a talented musician, Lisa has the heart of an educator. So we're going to talk more about with her here very shortly. The Midnight Suns are giving free voice lessons right now, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, that's for the next 6 weeks. Phil Cheesebrough is a really good vocal educator, and you learn the really fundamentals just solid fundamentals. Plus, the other thing that's cool about barbershop is you can start ringing chords right away.
Right.
You know, I've taken voice lessons from others and that weren't fun. I mean, I learned a lot, but it's...
Dry.
Yeah, beige. I think I'll paint the room beige. But MidnightSuns.com.
Okay. That's easy to remember.
Yes. And one other thing I'd like to point out is that November 2nd show we're doing, mm-hmm. which will be at East, you're going to MC it.
I am.
I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we have our guest, Lisa Hawkins of Pipeline Vocal Project. Great story. Great talent. But of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
Without it, I even got the right button.
Yeah, I know. Lisa's not going to drink it.
She's a smart girl.
She's a smart woman.
Folks, the secret to an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. That's why we here at the Big Alaska Show drink Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. You see, broadcast veterans know just forming vowels this time of morning is a challenge, especially for phrases like, I slid a sheet I slid upon the slitted sheet I sit, or I saw the city sheriff shoot the city marshal, or my old man's a cotton-picking, finger-licking chicken plucker. But just one sip of this caffeine-packed swill, and phrases roll off like, I slid a sheet I slid upon the slitted sheet I sit. I saw the city sheriff shoot the city marshal. My old man's a cotton-picking, finger-licking chicken plucker. Plus, Big Alaska Show Blend gives Alaskans that extra lift to face the day or lift their boots to the backside of a teenager. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup. I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
Hey, that's how we rolled on the Big Alaska Show. When we return, our guest, Lisa Hawkins with Pipeline Vocal Project, is joining us. Plus, we have a tall Alaska tale and a special presentation that's going to feature Lisa's talents. She just doesn't know that yet. Anyway, we'll be right back after this important message. As we say in the Big Alaska Show, anyone who gives us money, we call friend. And the more money, Mike,
the better the friend.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts. For windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement, it's Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Our guest has been on the Big Alaska Show before.
And she came back.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, there's been a pandemic in between.
Well, that's
so
true.
It's amazing how that just wipes out everyone's memory. And we actually have a podcast of that interview.
Did we get the check to keep it off yet from her?
Lisa, we put things on the air for free, and we have a rate card to keep it off the air. So we actually have a podcast with this a cappella sensation. Go to BigAlaskaShow.com, type in Pipeline Vocal Project, and you'll find it. But since then, their career has exploded, and it's a remarkable odyssey, Lisa. The brains and creator behind this group, Mike Ford, and one of the hardest working musicians on the planet. Please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Lisa Hawkins. How are you going to follow that act?
Wow, thank you so much for the introduction. That was amazing.
Let's start out. You have a performance tonight.
I do, yes. It's called Lights Down Low. It's a very intimate setting. It's at Cafecito Bonito on East Side off of DeBar. And it's about a two-hour show from 7 to 9. And it's we really love those intimate shows because we get to connect with the audience a little bit more. We get to have a little bit more banter versus like, here's our show. And, you know, it's more of a presentation sometimes. But yeah, if people are interested in coming, you can find tickets either on our website, which is pipelinevocalproject.com, or you can find the link in our social media. But yeah, we're super excited about it, and it's going to be a fun show. We will be doing, you know, most of our repertoire, and then even some Tunes Days, as we like it, which I can explain here in a little bit, that we have never performed before. So that's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Oh, man. When people ask you what Pipeline Vocal Project is, what do you tell them?
I usually say we're a contemporary a cappella trio. We love taking songs of today and performing them in yesterday's style. Yeah, we just like to take unique twists on popular hits throughout the eras. And we like to put on a fun show. We like to make it immersive and interactive. But yeah, we're an a cappella group that travels and performs and teaches, and it's been a wild ride, I have to say.
Oh, to that point, I know you've gone through some changes, but how long has PVB been in existence?
This is year 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, in 5 years, Mike Ford, this young woman has, I mean, we're going to get into some of the travels, but I wanted to kind of step back a little bit. so people get a sense of how quickly this has evolved.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Lisa during when we first got together this morning, reminiscing about we were over at Tracy Simmons Church. We were at, I think, some high school Christmas thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you had just come up because your father was ill at the time,
mm-hmm.
and you were helping your mom and helping the business, and you were telling me this idea about, well, immediately I started talking about barbershop, and she was talking about a cappella and we're music, and and I thought, oh my goodness, this woman, we may have to recruit her.
Little did you know.
Yes, yes, yeah, yes, said the ant to the elephant.
No.
But anyway, so at that time, you had told me that you're going to form this contemporary a cappella group, and mm-hmm. you had a background mm-hmm. around the contemporary a cappella scene. Tell us yeah. a little bit about that background.
Yeah, you know, I've always been, like, enamored with the idea of vocal music, but I did not do choir in high school, and that's not because I didn't love to sing. I took, you know, private singing lessons. I did competitions outside, but my high school in particular didn't really have a strong choir program. And so it didn't really feel worth my time to spend, you know, my energy in that specific part. And I put it in extracurricular activities. But when I went to college, you know, I discovered collegiate a cappella, and my world was changed. And I immediately got so involved and so invested, so much so that my junior year of college, I went hunting for, like, a cappella camps throughout the country, and I flew myself to Ohio, attended this thing called Camp A Cappella, which will come back later, because that's how I met our new member now. And then I really got involved in the community, where I really met so many people. It was so vital to the start of my career at Camp A Cappella. And then I spent some time in Cape Cod performing in a professional group. I lived in Buffalo, New York, working for a production company for a cappella specifically. And then, as you know, like, life brought me back up to Alaska. I had to come back and help my family. But I just hated to leave it behind. And there's no a cappella culture, you know, at least in a contemporary sense here in Alaska. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just build it.
Yeah. And the thing that cracks me up is, as I recall, for your recruiting purposes for this group,
mm-hmm.
you put an ad in Craigslist?
Facebook, but yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then how did you audition them?
So Audrey, I didn't exactly audition. It was kind of like an interview thing. And I was like, it was a mutual interview. I was like presenting my case of like, here's my idea. I know it's just like right now chicken scratch on paper, and I'm like explaining this to you, but here's my idea. Are you interested? And then she kind of told me why she was interested. So it was kind of like a mutual discussion, and she was on board, thank God. And yes. I had been away from Alaska at that point for so long that she was kind of my only connection that I knew. So then I went to Facebook, posted a little ad, and was like, here's what I'm looking for, singers who are interested. People started tagging each other. And that's how, long story short, that's how I found Molly. And I met with her at UAA, had her sing for me, and I was like, all right, my rule's kind of like, you have to have aspects in which I feel like you're better than me.
Yes, yes.
And I felt that with her. And I was like, awesome. Let's go.
So did both of those women have obviously backgrounds in music?
Mm-hmm.
Had they studied music?
Yeah, yeah. Audrey was majoring in music at the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And then Molly just has a strong choral background.
Yeah.
She was involved in the UAA Glee Club and, you know, did choir all throughout her schooling days as well as children's choir. So, yeah, she's been involved for sure.
And so it wasn't long because here comes the a cappella festivella, which is a very popular annual thing at the University of Alaska Anchorage that comes out in like October.
Yeah, used to be.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's I know. But you guys, it's showtime.
It was so funny how that happened. It's actually quite a crazy story. So I had met with Zach Clark a few months prior, before I really even like formed the group, just told him I am forming a group. And at that time, Alaska was going through a budget crisis, and they could not bring up a headliner like they usually do for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was telling me who he wanted to bring up and all that. But then, you know, months later, come this budget crisis, I receive a phone call. It was like, hey, so I know you were forming an a cappella group. How would you like to headline the festival?
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. This was like August and the show's in October. At this point, the group had one song, so like 2 minutes of music. And he goes, hey, do you have a 45-minute show? And I go, absolutely we do. We'll be there. Hang up the phone, immediately panic, call in a bunch of favors for arrangements. I arrange a bunch of my own. And miraculously, in like 6 weeks, we put together a 45-minute show. Looking back, I have no idea how we did it. But
I was there.
That was nuts.
Pressure cookers make things go quickly.
I guess so. We were really feeling that pressure. It was our first gig ever.
I know. I was there in the audience, and you guys came out boldly. When they come out right at the audience, and they're each one mic'd individually, you know, whereas in barbershop, as the ensemble create the sound, and then that goes into the microphone. Mm-hmm. Contemporary a cappella, each voice is mic'd. It's just another element of difficulty.
A meant-to-be moment.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Mike, we were just talking about this. My quartet, the Frozen Pipes, opened up. We were introduced by Senator Ted Stevens. But we were the warm-up act for the House Jacks, and that's how I met Deke Sharon. You know, he was the lead producer for Pitch Perfect. And I've got a really good interview, as Mike knows, with Deke Sharon. And
wow.
I asked Deke, what's more difficult, teaching actors to sing or singers to act? And he was telling me that he lost sleep. He said he only had one of those actors who could really sing. Because I know, and so it's about a 15-minute interview with Deke. But we opened up for Deke Sharon, the Frozen Pipes, the Hitmen of Love.
Awesome. I love that. And he's so fun.
So you've made your first performance. And then I lost sort of touch with you, and we are all busy in our lives. And of course, the pandemic comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's next? You've got so many videos. You traveled. What do we cover next?
When you do your travels, I'm just curious, do the equipment budget that would have been, you know, for equipment, do you get to upgrade your seats to first class every time? Because
you only have the pitch. Nice.
So you just need to put on your contract the equipment budget, right?
We have no instruments, so can you allocate that funds to our seat?
Yeah, you know.
But to answer your question, Steve, what happened next was the pandemic, you know? And we just had our first opening show. Things were going well for us. People were trying to hear about us. And then everything shut down. And so for a new band that had just formed, we were like, what does this mean for us? What do we do?
And a vocal one where, you know, we are the super spreaders because we're filling our lungs with,
Exactly. And what happened next was actually kind of, I think, what shaped our career is during the pandemic. We were able to really hunker down and like hone in on our skills and, you know, create these Tunes Days, which are, we're posting every Tuesday a new tune online. So that's every week we're arranging a new song, recording a new song, editing the song, filming it, posting it every week. And you know, that became like a routine for us where we were able to continue like doing new things and learning more about our voices, learning how to sing together, which is so important. I think only really time can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, they were learning how to arrange. So they were starting to like dip their toes into arranging for Tunes Days. And that really helped us like shape, you know, what we were capable of later on. And I don't know how different it would have been if we didn't get that time together,
mm-hmm.
That concentrated time to just really dive in.
Yeah.
Because people are so busy, we don't really get to do that anymore. You just either come within, you can do it or you can't, and you move on. But we were able to just like, I don't know, just really get into the mud with each other. And that was really special. And what came out of that was a viral video that opened a lot of doors for us. So we posted in October of 2020, we were doing these things called telegrams also for the pandemic where, you know,
She did that for our benefit. You know, I remember we posted, it was sort of like, hey, there's this old thing called a telegram. It's sort of like you're educating your young audience of this historical phenomenon.
It was so great because people couldn't spend their birthdays, anniversaries, graduations even with their loved ones. And so we were like, we'll send them a virtual telegram. And so we were doing that. And someone requested one for this song called WAP, and that's I'll leave it at that. But it's just kind of like a raunchy song.
Your
we were like, okay. And well, so that's how it came along. That's where it started. And we received it, and I was like, there's no way we're posting this online. I hate it. Like, it's not our brand. But we're like, no, it would be so funny. It would be so funny. And so I turned it into this, I turned this, like, raunchy hip-hop tune into this, like, 1940s, like, almost army style.
You reimagined it.
Yeah, yeah. And we thought it was funny, so we posted it online, and, like, the next day, it went viral, hit a million views. And I think at this point, it has, like, 10 million views now, but...
What does that feel like?
Yes,
that
was, please share with us.
It was a mixture of, like, complete shock, excitement, and then also dread, because we were like, oh, my God, now there's this pressure.
What are you going to do next?
Yeah, it was our very first TikTok video we ever posted. And so now I was feeling the pressure to, like, keep this up and keep just putting out excellence. Like, as artists, you know, we can't be excellent always, right? And so we're like, oh, my gosh. But it was really exciting because a lot of doors opened up for us. You know, we got invited to perform at different places, and that's kind of where a lot of our travels came along. Not necessarily from that video, but that's where it started.
Yeah. It just start a thread, and it just keeps leading to other paths and stuff like this. You know, I know we need to take a real quick break, Mike.
A break if you want.
Well, that doesn't help me. It's more, I like it.
Oh, there's the music. Must be time for a break.
We have to take a real quick break because when we come back, we're going to follow up of the travels. I mean, what opened the doors for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to you about your videos, too, because you're really good, Lisa. Lisa does videos, and I want to talk about how you arrange pieces, too, because we have an example of a traditional piece that you guys do.
We'll play it when we come break. How's that?
We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, more with Lisa Hawkins and Pipeline Vocal Project right after this.
Takes me out to the ball game. Takes me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Now I don't care if I'm never ever getting back. So it's roots, root, root for the home team. And if they don't win, it's a shame. So it's one and two and three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your authorized sales agent for Alaska. You can call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime online at aesalaska.com.
Our guest, Lisa Hawkins, Pipeline Vocal Project, and we're going to be posting a podcast of this interview on our bigalaskashow.com.
Unless we get the check.
right. No, yes. We'll
What's
take
your
it off.
Rate? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we'll take it off the air if you pay us. So, but now, let me do this real quickly because I don't want to forget this, Mike. Misty Forrest is a woman that sings with Amy, my wife. And they sang in a quartet years ago, and they have a blast, and they sing Barbershop. And it's Misty's birthday. And I was going to ask Lisa if she could do a little bit of now, is it hi-hat? You go...
Sure. Oh. I will follow you guys.
Okay. So if you can give me a little... And it's Misty Forrest, Mike.
Okay. Misty Forrest.
And now, this is gonna bend Lisa's mind because my hands are... They need...
Did you get the talcum on?
I didn't have the talcum. You'll see. Lisa's making a way for the door.
Oh my God!
I'm running away. No,
you're,
just kidding.
Okay, give me a little. Ready?
Misty Forrest.
Misty Forrest.
Misty Forrest. Misty Forrest.
And here's the best part.
That's
impressive. You know, some people, how horn players lose their lip?
All you ever need to learn is from third grade.
The pitch, too. That's amazing.
Well, we've got a link to a video we'll send you.
Yeah. You know, you guys have done this for me, actually. I remember. This was like 2020, I think.
Yeah. See, the impact we have. She remembers the year. She remembers us doing it. And so I publicly apologize for you.
No, I loved it.
Happy birthday, Misty Forrest. We hope you have a wonderful day. So, Lisa Hawkins, Pipeline Vocal Project. You posted this video, it went viral, and then you start traveling. I mean, I would see these posts of cruises and Dubai, and take us through some of this.
Much like our, you know, headlining out of the blue act for Acapella Festivella, our first international gig also felt like that. It started out as an email that I thought was like spam of someone being like, hey, we're looking for a performance group from Alaska that can perform at the World Expo in Dubai. And it was sounding a lot like the Nigerian prince. And I was like, sure. But I was like, well, I would kick myself if I didn't at least reply. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And lo and behold, it was not spam. They really were looking for an Alaskan group to perform. It took a long time to come together, but eventually it did. And they flew us to Dubai in March of 2022.
How long is that flight?
Oh, long. From here to Seattle, and then Seattle to Dubai was like 16 hours. It was probably the longest flight I've yet to be on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Going up north and around. So, yeah, that was crazy. And like for our first international gig to be at a world's fair, basically, where all these countries have their own pavilions, their own buildings. It's like a real life 10 times bigger Epcot. And we were on this gigantic stage. It was like the main stage for the expo. We thought we might be performing at just like the USA pavilion, which we also did. But like the main performance was at what they called the Jubilee Theater, which was in the middle, like the heart of the expo. And it apparently was like USA week. And so they were featuring like USA performers. And just a week earlier, Jacob Collier was on that stage.
Oh, wow.
And so we're just like three little girls from Alaska. We see the stage and we're like, oh, my God, we're going to be swallowed.
Awesome.
But no, it was so fun. It was an incredible experience. And that, again, that was just kind of kickstarted our travels.
How long was your set that you did for that?
We were told it was 30 minutes, but 10 minutes before we went on stage, we're like, all right, good luck on your 60-minute set. And we were like, what? And so we were like backstage, like scribbling on a piece of paper, okay, what else are we going to sing? And
oh my gosh.
It went all right. But yeah, it was a time.
Were there other a cappella groups?
No, just us.
Just, and how did the crowd respond? How'd it go? I mean,
they were into it, you know. We like to put in a variety of stuff in our set, including some international stuff. So when we sang this song called "Dil Dil Pakistan," you could definitely see that they were into that. You know, it's like that part of the world, and they knew that song. We also sang "Sweet Caroline," in which you can point out the Americans in the crowd. And then we have some, you know, interactive stuff where we get them to sing back or sing along with us, clap with us. So, yeah, I think it went well. And during our last song, coincidentally, fireworks went off behind us. So we're like, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Timing is everything, right?
I know. I'm sure that was not planned, but we're like, we'll take it.
And to your point about the thing with Pakistan, the music, stuff like this, mm-hmm. I know you'll do things in other languages. You do a little set of song. And because your background, you speak Japanese.
You do, yeah.
And any other language that...
Japanese is the only one I'm fluent at. And I was like, at least earlier this year, getting into Spanish a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pronunciation is similar to Japanese. So I was feeling that, okay, the pronunciation is not bad.
Oh, man, gosh. How long were you in Dubai?
Dubai, that was like about a week. Yeah, not too long. But it was definitely an eye-opener and an incredible experience. And they really, like, rolled out the red carpet for us. You know, we, like, got off of our plane, and at the gate, there was already, like, someone waiting for us with this, like, buggy thing. And they're taking us through, like, an express way that other, you know, people don't usually go to. And we're like, oh, my gosh, like, We're just these three small girls from Alaska. We don't deserve this. We can walk. It's fine. But yeah, it was interesting. It was so cool.
So you leave Dubai. What's next?
Well, we get into this program called American Music Abroad, which is a program where they take bands, about 10-ish bands a year they select through this audition process, to send as cultural ambassadors to different countries. And our platform is typically female empowerment and inclusivity. So they have in the past sent us to places where there isn't a lot of that. So we spent a lot of time in Central Asia, Middle East. Earlier this year, we were in the Oceania Islands, like Tonga and Kiribati. And they send us there to not only perform, but also do like intensive workshops. We go around and we connect with, the community. And we sometimes get to really like get on a connection level that you don't typically see through vocal music, which is really incredible.
What an unexpected reward.
Yeah, no, truly. It's been such a privilege to be able to do that, and very rewarding, because you can see the reaction on people's faces when they start to make music with their own bodies and their voices. And a cappella is something everyone can access, right? You don't need instruments. Like, you can be of any social economic status and participate in this art form. And so it's really cool to be able to give them that and give them a different type of vocal music, because every culture has a type of vocal music. They just don't call it a cappella. And so introducing different elements like instrument imitation, beatboxing, and, you know, their minds are blown, and it's really fun. And we do these, you know, fun little games with them. And yeah, we get to connect with people that we never dream of connecting with.
You know, what an ambassador for...
Hey, I'm glad the pandemic happened.
really, the blessing of the pandemic. Holy mackerel. That's something that I'm really impressed by, is your international outreach mm-hmm. that you have been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that Audrey was leaving the group,
mm-hmm.
and you go and find a replacement. And I tell you, man, I mean, trying to find a tenor in a barbershop quartet, you want a challenge. Finding somebody to replace somebody that was as talented as Audrey.
Yeah, yeah. And Audrey is awesome. And I know she's still singing. But we found our new member. Her name is Taylor Siebert. She's awesome. I met her at Camp Acapella almost 10 years ago. And we just kind of stayed in touch because, you know, we were both active in the acapella community. And so we were on the cruise ships last year. During this time, one of the cruises, Audrey got sick. We were on this 1 week on, 1 week off schedule. And she got off the ship and she was like, I know I'm not going to be well enough by the next week to get back on. So I was like, okay, we need to call in a sub. And so Taylor was the first person I called. I call her, we get off the ship on Friday. I called Taylor on a Saturday and I was like, hey, she lives in Oregon. Can you be in Alaska on Tuesday? And she was like, okay. And so she learned, we performed two shows on the cruise ships. She learned about an hour and a half's worth of music in 3 days.
Wow.
Gets here on Tuesday, learns the shows, gets on the ship with us on Friday, performs the shows. And it was, we felt a different vibe.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, Audrey's very talented. Taylor's talented in a different way.
Yes.
She has like different edge to her voice. And so like the chords were ringing in a way we hadn't heard before. We're like, wow, this is really cool. And not too long after, Audrey, you know, talked to us about wanting to transition out of the group. And so I was like, perfect, I'll call Taylor. And, you know, we did go through an audition process just to, you know, do our due diligence and all that. But we were pretty sure like Taylor was going to be a good fit, and sure enough, she blew everyone else out of the water. And yeah, she was willing to move to Alaska, so she moved here in April of this year to be in Pipeline. We are so lucky to have her.
Had she ever been to Alaska before,
aside from coming here to learn our shows?
Yeah.
No.
How's she liking it so far?
You know, I think she's adjusting. I think she's adjusting. You know,
sure.
Transition to Alaska is big, right?
Yes.
But she, I think the beauty is, you know, rubbing off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, I hear her say more and more recently, like, wow, that looks fake.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's, you know, we did see you perform at the Alaska State Fair with Straight No Chaser. You were the opening act for Straight No Chaser.
That's right, yes.
And the thing about your performance is you don't stand there and just sing. You perform.
Oh, we sweat.
It's
we were going to come say hi, but Steve had to get a funnel cake.
Yes, we go there just to eat our brains out.
Don't we all? We have to.
Yes, absolutely. But yours is a workout. Yours is the choreography behind it is intense.
Thank you. Yeah, we put a lot of work into our performance aspect because I think what we took away from, well, we've always thought this, but especially in the cruise season of our lives, we were like, you know, we are entertainers first and singers second. Mm-hmm. People want to be entertained more than they want to hear perfect music, right? And so incorporating visual elements has been always really important to us. We like to sweat on stage, and there's only three of us, so we really have to just keep it moving constantly. And so we're moving constantly physically and singing. It's definitely at the end of the show we're like pooped, but it's very rewarding. We love doing it.
And did that situation on the ship, did that give you new angles to think about on the video presentations that you do when you're putting together your videos?
I think, you know, all these skills kind of are cumulative and they build on each other. And the more you are successful in one avenue, it bleeds into the other and it just keeps, you know, piling up from there. You just get better and better, I think.
Are you the chief arranger for your music of your pieces?
I am. There's a few that I call in some friends because I think for this particular song, like, I think you would do better than I do, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But I would say, yeah, I'm the main arranger.
That's what's very impressive. You can tell when someone is willing, and what you said about bringing someone that's better than you when into your auditions, you know, check the ego at the door. We want it to be the best it can be. Mm-hmm. That's unique.
Yeah, I do not want to be the best in the room. I want to be the student in the classroom, you know.
Well, fortunate for me, I never was. So I spent a lot of time playing basketball, and I was on the bench. That's where I actually honed my skills for playing my hands.
His nickname was Slivers.
He's a cruel man. The videos are, there's some fantastic, really talented.
Thank you.
And that's Lisa Hawkins.
Even that one we played the audio of where they're at the ball, you know, they're out in the ball field and it's winter time.
Yeah.
There's snow all over.
Very Alaskan.
I really encourage people, just go to YouTube and type in Pipeline Vocal Project. They're different. They're creative. They're fantastic. So what's on the horizon? What's going on? So you have a show tonight. What else is in the pipeline?
Actually, you know, next week we start a tour. So we fly down to Montana and we're going to be going through some cities in Montana and then making our way over to Spokane, Washington to do a few shows there. And our main reason for going is these showcases where we get to perform in front of like presenters, performing arts theaters, people who book for them. But in the meantime, like when we're not doing that, we're going to be going around to schools and doing workshops with some kids and community groups and some senior living homes, which we're really excited about. They're awesome. They're so fun. So I'm really stoked about that. It's kind of like our first self-planned tour. Most of our tours have been like through the U.S. State Department. And so we haven't really had to do a whole lot on the planning side, but this is, completely self-planned. So I'm excited about that. And then in November, we go to Peru on another government gig. So that I'm excited about too.
I left my sinuses in Arizona. I left my liver in Peru. I left my lungs and my kidneys for the summer in Sydney, but I'm sending my heart to you.
So, that song is very Steve.
Yeah.
Did you write that?
No.
Add that one to your show and see how it goes.
Yeah. Education, that's something that's really important, and I know our time is going to go by so quickly here. The thing I really appreciated was when we did Men Can Sing, you came and taught the guys beatbox.
Yeah, I would love to do that again.
Now, where'd the beatbox, I mean, did beatbox something that you sort of picked up because you needed to or something you wanted to do? But you've gotten, and the guy that I met with you at Straight No Chaser who does the beatbox.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys are pretty good friends.
Yes.
and that he sort of mentored you. You've learned from him, I would think.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from him. He's one of my best friends in the world. I was with him when he got the call that he made it into Straight No Chasers. So we've been on this like acapella journey together, but he is definitely my mentor, and I've learned a lot from him in terms of like just, you know, showmanship, performance, and also behind the scenes stuff like editing and arranging. I learn a lot from him, and his group is a big inspiration to us. They're a male trio, and so I think that allowed me to be able to think that three could work with females as well. So,
wow.
He was a big driver in how I structured Pipeline.
Yeah, me in the barbershop realm, I'm always thinking, these women need a bass.
I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you really got into the beatboxing because you do a lot of one thing, but you do it.
Thanks. You know, you asked earlier, like it was definitely something I learned because I needed to. When I wanted to create a group in Alaska, I was like, I'm not going to find a female beatboxer who's willing to do this full time. No way. But I could find singers. So I was like, well, I guess I am going to be the beatboxer now. And that's when I first started to be like, you know, I was like, okay, how do I make these sounds? And, you know, I called some beatboxing friends and be like, hey, can you help me with some of these patterns, you know? But basically I taught myself. I listened to a lot of acapella, so I knew how it was going to go. And my first gig ever beatboxing in front of people was Acapella Festivala.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just crazy to think about.
Oh, you talk about, hey, you want to go to the senior prom tonight.
So the motto is just say yes.
Just say yes. Just learn a completely new skill and put together a 45-minute show and it'll all work out.
I'll tell you, I've been in that situation. We've both been at where they went, oh, it's not 30. Oh, it's 60. Well, let's see. To stretch it out, and time slows down. It goes tick.
Yeah, I know.
Talk.
It's weird how time passes on stage, right? It's either really fast or really slow.
Yeah. I've been with a group where we ran out of music. We still had 15 minutes to go.
Oh, no. What a nightmare.
Said, okay, everybody, let's sing along, you know, kind of thing.
Start pulling out carols.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, one of the things I want to do sometime is get together with you all and do a tag with your group. I want to sing a tag.
Just that would be fun.
One time.
Pipeline and Steve.
PvP and Steve. But in the little time we have remaining, I just want to say real quickly, I first met you those 5 years plus-ish ago. You came up. Your father was a very charismatic, handsome guy, terrible disease. This guy would have been the governor. He was that charismatic and that smart, a very talented man. You came up when he was terminally ill. You went through that. You put Pipeline Vocal Project. You helped your mom. You helped their business. We'd call it the Big Alaska Show because everything's big in Alaska, rivers, streams, and but it's the Big Alaska spirit. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, you embody that.
Oh,
and I've watched you. Hey, you have a 45-minute set, and you're sitting on one song, and you go, sure. Bring it on.
And how many kids you've helped develop their gift with yours is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you, and what an inspiration you are. Just all the best. Now, are you going to learn some country cow-kicking songs down there in Montana?
Ooh, that would be fun.
You need some Western there, kiddo.
Yeah, I guess do some country next.
You ought to do Rawhide. Tell us real quickly, we can follow you on pipelinevocalproject.com.
Yes, we're also on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at Pipeline Vocal Project. We share all of our updates there as well as like vlogs of our travels. So if you want to keep up, you can find us there.
Let's give a warm Big Alaska Show to Lisa Hawkins and Pipeline Vocal Project. Mike Ford, my brother, always so fun to start a show with you. And to my baby girl, love you. And Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank Lisa for showing up here today. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tunnel, or online at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Alaska Enterprise Solutions, your Xerox sales agent for Alaska at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good live through your tooth, all Alaska Tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.